Good Thursday, everybody. Welcome into the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app. What's going on? Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson at the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Ryan, it's Thursday. We're almost to Friday. These weeks continue to fly by, and I want to tell you, I'm in a great mood.
Good.
I have gotten a lot done today. I've already done an interview for Chasing Checkers. Had a big meeting this morning. Lots going on. Very, very, very excited for the day.
I'm happy for you, Chase.
Yeah, I could just hear it in your voice. I can just hear that excitement.
So happy.
Yes, well, good to see you too. So he's at his house, I'm at my house, and we're ready to rock and roll. So we're going to ask this question. Hal Gill coming up at the bottom of the hour, so we'll talk some hockey with him. But we're going to kick it off with some NFL. The biggest winner and loser at quarterback in the National Football League this offseason. Ryan and I are going to give you our answers for that. And if you want to weigh in, you can do that on our text line, 615-737-1025. Send us a text, your biggest winner, biggest loser at quarterback this offseason. Ryan, I will let you begin with the biggest winner.
The big winner to me would be Kyler Murray, because he was gift-wrapped DeAndre Hopkins. So I would go with Kyler Murray.
Okay. Kyler Murray is a good choice. For me, it is Baker Mayfield. This is why I say Baker Mayfield. You might go, really? The Browns, are we doing this again? Are we going to crown them paper champions? I understand. They went 6-10 last year. Baker had 22 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. So wasn't a very good year for him. But I like the coaching hire. Kevin Stefanski, he was the offensive coordinator with the Vikings last season. And you can say what you want about Kirk Cousins, but I like his offense, and I believe that it's going to do a lot better than they have been, because one of the biggest problems that we talked about with the Cleveland Browns was their head coach. The weapons, Austin Hooper, I really like that signing at tight end. We know Jack Conklin has gone to the Cleveland Browns, so you're going to give Baker a little more protection. So the offense.
They also drafted a tackle.
They drafted a tackle as well. So I really like what they did offensively. Plus, the hope is that OBJ is going to be healthy. He's going to be much better than his second year with the Browns. Kareem Hunt, you're going to have available for the full season at running back. So there are two weapons. But the thing that stood out to me with the Cleveland Browns is all of the work that they did on defense. And you always hear that worn-out phrase, defense wins championships. I believe that Baker Mayfield is immensely talented, but he needs a solid defense to help back him up. They drafted well with the defense. Grant Delpin from LSU, Jacob Phillips, also from LSU, local product. He was a part of that draft class. They made some signings that they won't blow you away, like a Kevin Johnson or a Carl Joseph, but they still added on defense, but the biggest addition that they're going to have is Myles Garrett has been reinstated. So the hope is that he has a newfound appreciation for life, that he will behave himself, and even though that was such a weird situation, and he will be a disruptor on defense. So overall, I like the moves that the Browns have made. That's going to benefit Baker Mayfield in my mind, so that's why I have him a winner.
All right, yeah, Baker's a pretty good choice. I still stick with Kyler, the other Oklahoma quarterback that won a Heisman Trophy, because when you add DeAndre Hopkins into that offense, look, his top two receivers last year were Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald, and you know those are okay options for 1 and 2, but you infuse Hopkins into that offense, one of the top five receivers in the National Football League. And you can have that addition going into year two as a quarterback. I have to think Kyler Murray is going to have a pretty big year. I was down on Kyler when he was coming out of Oklahoma. Didn't think he was, you know, really worthy of being the number one overall pick. His size to me is a worry, and still is. But the fact that they only lost David Johnson to add Kyler Murray, or to add DeAndre Hopkins, for me makes Kyler the biggest winner. You know, another name that you can mention in this, Chase, for me would be Drew Lock, because
I have him on my list.
Drew Lock, you know, he has a successful end of the season last year, and you're feeling pretty good about where he's going as the Broncos' future quarterback. And then you sign Melvin Gordon, and no, Melvin Gordon may not be the same running back that he was 2-3 years ago for the Chargers, but you put Melvin Gordon with Philip Lindsay in the backfield, then you draft in the first two rounds Jerry Jeudy and K.J. Hamler, and you already drafted him a first-round tight end last year in Noah Fant. All of a sudden, that Broncos offense is looking a lot more dangerous with a lot more potential, and Drew Lock has to be happy with what John Elway and company has done in that front office this offseason.
Well, I hope, and I hope that he is the biggest winner for John Elway's sake. Now, you know, I'm not saying that John Elway's seat is hot, but he hasn't been able to find a quarterback since Peyton Manning. And let's be honest, Peyton Manning, that's a signing. That's different. You have to be able to draft a quarterback, and he hasn't been able to do it.
He didn't really find one before Peyton either.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. That he hasn't found a QB for that franchise. Now maybe it's going to be Drew Lock. I wasn't like high on Drew Lock, but I wasn't down on him either. You know, coming out of Missouri, so he had a rough rookie season, but I don't think you can really gauge all that much out of that season, even though he got better towards the end. So we'll see. I like the offensive weapons. So Drew Lock is an interesting choice. I had him as a potential on my list, but we'll see.
I wouldn't say he had a rough rookie season.
Yeah,
Drew Lock?
Yeah.
He won four of the five starts he had.
That's true. Four or five, and then especially the back half of the season.
He went 4-1. He had a touchdown to interception ratio of 7-3, a completion percentage more than 60%. And one of those wins, they just took Houston behind the woodshed. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say Drew Lock is going to have a great second year, because you just never know. But I don't know if you can really sit there and say that his rookie year was a bad one.
Yeah, I mean, it was he had his rookie moments, I guess is what I meant to say.
He only played in five games and he won four of them.
But okay, still. I mean,
what were his rookie moments?
Five games. So, I mean, what are you really expecting?
He went 4-1, and the one loss that he had was at Kansas City.
Yeah, and that's expected, because I mean, it's
what
Kansas
else
City.
Do you expect out of a rookie quarterback?
I expect greatness with the pieces that they added. So we'll go with that.
Okay.
Like I said, I wasn't too high on him, and I wasn't too low. I mean, I still want to see how it plays out. I mean, it's Denver, I just don't know what to really expect until I see it out of Denver. That's all I'm saying.
Sure. I would agree with you there. And hopefully if Drew Lock takes off in year two, it starts in week two.
Yeah. And Phillip Rivers is another one that I put potentially.
Good one.
Just because it's a change of scenery. And so you never know what that's going to do. I love Frank Reich. So having him with Frank Reich and those two together, And we know that Indy's got offense. I mean, Indy has some offensive weapons that I believe need to be woken up. I think going from Luck and just the quarterback situation that they had last year of just, you know, Jacoby Brissett gets thrown into the starter's role right before the season starts. You can't put all that on him, but he did an admirable job. But he's not a starter. He's a backup, in my opinion. So now you have a true starter coming back in there. And Phillip Rivers, I do wonder what it's going to be like not really having the off-season program to learn the offense and to get used to each other. So we'll see. But I think that he's a potential winner as well. Ben on our text line, and again, text us your winners and losers at quarterback this offseason, 615-737-1025. Ben says the winner is Minshew because he somehow didn't get replaced. Loser, either Cam, who is jobless, or Rodgers, eviction pending.
Okay. Well, neither of us mentioned Jarrett Stidham.
I can't mention Jarrett Stidham.
In an offseason littered with all sorts of free agent quarterbacks to be had, and they were sitting right there to potentially draft Jordan Love, they don't draft the future quarterback. They don't sign one of those quarterbacks in the offseason. Jarrett Stidham, the only quarterback that the Patriots signed was Brian freaking Hoyer.
Yeah, this is what, his fourth stint with them?
So I was going to guess about eighth, but look, I mean, Jarrett Stidham is a winner just for the sheer fact that the Patriots believe in him.
It's true. I don't know if I can say he's the biggest winner.
Also, if we do this exercise in 2 months, are we saying Dak Prescott is the big winner?
Ooh, that's a good question, too. Maybe. Yeah, I mean, if he gets paid, then yeah. I would say
he would have
so.
Gotten paid. They would have kept Amari Cooper, and they would have drafted CeeDee Lamb.
We could say that about Patrick Mahomes at some point soon, because he's going to get paid.
He's going to be the winner of the decade when he gets paid.
40 mil, baby. 40 mil. Corey in Bellevue says, Ryan went full on Colin Cowherd with his voice crack while defending Drew Lock.
I mean, Drew Lock had a great 5 games.
Yeah, he did. You were.
He went 4-1.
You were passionate about that. Let's go to Adam. Adam wants to weigh in on this. Adam, welcome in.
Tannehill, he got to keep his job and got his running back back. Man, he is my one. Just because I'm always gonna pull Homer card there, man. As far as people who also won outside, Jimmy G, I like because he got Juwan Jennings, and I know you guys say that I'm pulling a Homer card there too, but. I swear, that dude's going to wind up blowing up. It might not be this year. Might be 2 or 3 years, man, but I think Jimmy G won too. Even if he did lose a couple pieces at running back, I think he still won.
Hmm. Okay, Adam. A little bit of a homer pick, but I'm curious on Juwan Jennings. I hope it works. I really do.
Adam the president of the Juwan Jennings fan club?
I think so.
Did Adam go to Blackman High School and Tennessee?
I don't know the answer to those questions, but it does seem that way. He's all about some Juwan Jennings. That's whenever I see hear anything about Juwan Jennings, I just hear Uncle Vern.
That was not a good Uncle Vern impression.
Know, but
you've done better, yeah, and you can do better. I expect
you.
Better.
Thank you for believing in me. You're on one today. I like it. I can just kind of tell you're on one. Nate says Deshaun Watson. Is a loser because Bill O'Brien traded Hopkins. So that's a good transition. But when we come back here on the rundown, our biggest losers at quarterback this offseason, Ryan and I will debate. Continue your text, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next on the rundown, ESPN 1025 The Game. Enter the ESPN The Game Nashville's uniform drawing contest for a chance to win a sports jersey from the Nashville Predators, Nashville SC, Nashville Sounds, Vanderbilt, or MTSU. Download a jersey template from thegamenashville.com or draw your own and submit for your chance to win. On Monday, we need you to help us decide who wins by voting on the top three uniforms from each category, hockey, soccer, football, basketball, and baseball, with the winner getting a jersey. For more details and to enter, visit thegamenashville.com. Welcome back into the rundown. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson here on ESPN 1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Our biggest winners and losers at quarterback this offseason in the NFL. Now, for winners, I said Baker Mayfield. Ryan, you said Kyler Murray.
Now, Andrew Locke.
Andrew Locke.
I'm on Drew Locke Island over
you're
here.
You're on the Drew Locke train. I mean, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I knew he played like 5 games last year, but I was not paying that close of attention to Drew Locke because it's the Broncos.
Clearly.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a team here that I was paying attention to. So,
you know, Drew Locke, he really struggled in his rookie year. He made a lot of mistakes, and you know, Drew Locke just isn't the future of Denver. He went 4-1.
Do you want a Drew Locke jersey? Enter this contest. We'll see if we can get you one.
Sure, I've got up in my office. I've got a 25% off coupon from Fanatics, so maybe I can use that on a Drew Locke jersey.
Get you a Drew Locke. What is it, number 4? Something like that. I don't know. Go get you a Drew Locke.
He's number 3.
Number 3, whatever. There you go. That's how much I care.
You know nothing about Drew Locke.
No, I really don't.
You know absolutely nothing. Wrong number. You thought he went 0-5 in his 5 games?
Wes says loser has to be whoever is the Patriots quarterback. They will be replacing the GOAT. That's Wes.
Well, I mean, that's fair. You know, if we're having this discussion of the winners and losers at quarterback of the 2020 season and not this offseason, then maybe Jarrett Stidham is on the loser list because maybe he doesn't turn out to be a good quarterback, at least as a starter. But This is off-season winners and losers.
Yes, off-season winners and losers, 615-737-1025 on our text line. Now, the biggest loser for me, I'm going to go ahead and start this, Aaron Rodgers. The dude goes 13-3, 26 touchdowns, 4 interceptions last year. They go to the NFC Championship game and lose. But what do? How do they help him out? Like, hey, we're going to get you some weapons. Nope, just kidding. We're going to draft your replacement in Jordan Love. We're gonna move up and go get him. We're gonna draft him in the first round. So that's kind of what you did, right? That's what happened to Favre. Isn't that funny? Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're not going to help you out. Jimmy Graham, he's gone. Devin Funchess, that's a free agent signing that they made. There you go. Throw the ball to him. Draft A.J. Dillon in the second round. And then that tight end that you hate out of Cincinnati, that's the weapons. That's what they do for Aaron Rodgers. They don't get him any help.
I don't hate Josiah DeGuara. I just don't like him as a third-round pick or as an NFL tight end altogether. But yeah. I like him. I have a soft spot in my heart for Josiah DeGuara.
Because he played at Cincinnati?
Absolutely. And yeah. I don't have a soft spot for Travis Kelce because when he's on Sunday Night Football, he does not acknowledge in the starting lineups that he went to the University of Cincinnati. He always says that he went to some Highland Heights or Cleveland Heights or whatever Heights High School in Cleveland. I mean, please, Travis Kelce, acknowledge the Bearcats on Sunday Night Football, but that's neither here nor there.
Why don't you tweet him?
I should.
Just tweet him and see if it didn't work for me. I was tweeting Brady trying to find out what he was going to do.
I probably have a little bit better of a chance with Travis Kelce because Travis Kelce is more engaged on social media.
Okay,
and maybe if I stoke the Cincinnati fire, then he'll respond.
Well, if he doesn't mention him on Sunday Night Football, what do you think that's going to work?
I'm going to be calling him out if I tweet at him.
Okay, well, give it a shot. See what happens.
Okay,
but mine is Aaron Rodgers because they gave him absolutely no help, and he's pretty much stuck. And the Packers are stuck with him. He's got 4 years left on his deal. There is a potential out in 2022, but that would cost them $17 million in dead cap space. So they're kind of stuck with each other, and this could be an interesting marriage.
Okay, so I would say Aaron Rodgers was the biggest loser of draft night.
Okay.
But not the offseason.
So who do you have for the offseason?
The Packers did not trade away Devontae Adams for a washed-up running back like the Houston Texans traded away DeAndre Hopkins for a washed-up running back. So Deshaun Watson is the biggest loser of quarterbacks in this offseason because he lost his number one target and didn't gain one back, and not even close. He's got a bunch of injury-prone receivers now.
Randall Cobb. Woohoo!
Exactly. You look at Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb. Thankfully, I said those two correctly. And
I'm glad you did.
I'm glad, too. And Will Fuller, like, that's not a receiving core that gets me excited, especially when you lose Hopkins. He has five 1,000-yard receiving seasons. If I can even speak today, five 1,000 receiving yard seasons in the last six, and is a bona fide number one receiver in this league, top five. And there doesn't seem to be an end in sight with that level of play out of Hopkins. And Deshaun Watson loses his number one target off a division winning team.
I can't argue with Deshaun Watson that much because I had him on my list. So, you know, we did coordinate before this to make sure that we weren't repeating ones. But Deshaun Watson, he has to be on the loser list simply because, as I made the same argument for Aaron Rodgers, that they didn't get him any help. Bill O'Brien, the GM, traded away his help for Deshaun Watson. He was like, you don't need him.
You mean Bill O'Bonehead?
Yeah, that guy.
Jared Stillman likes to call him. I mean, look, they have the biggest loser GM in the NFL, so that makes Deshaun Watson the biggest loser quarterback this offseason.
615-737-1025 on our text line. Now, Rob, the exercise is quarterback. I guess you missed that part because he says winner is Gronk. Dude hasn't played a full season in years, was going to retire, but instead is getting paid. Hot take, he will not play a full season and will only have flashes of his former self. Again, quarterback, loser, the Texans. I guess he means Watson just because. Then we have another one that did not say their name. Will Greer is the biggest loser. He got replaced by Bridgewater and had Brady added to the division already stacked with Breeze and Ryan. That's an interesting choice. Will Greer to me is a backup. I don't see him being ever being a starter in the league, but maybe a solid backup. But that's this.
I mean,
this
he's. I never really thought much of him coming out of Florida. And he wasn't all that good. Speaking of a rookie that had – maybe you got Drew Lock confused with Will Greer.
Yeah, he did have a bad year.
With Drew Lock, with Will Greer, if you would have said he had a bad rookie year and a lot of down moments and, you know, he was awful at times, like you kind of insinuated with Drew Lock last segment, those were accurate statements for Will Greer.
Yes, Teddy is a winner. Marquise says we are missing a very obvious loser. So, Marquise, who is that?
Derek Carr, man.
Okay, I was wondering if he was going to come up.
Yeah, Derek Carr's look, you don't bring Marcus Mariota in for that money just to play backup. I'm just saying.
I thought about him. I did. When I was coming up with mine, I made a list of that I was going to choose from. And kind of whittled it down, and Derek Carr was a part of it.
Yeah, I don't believe that we're bringing him in to motivate Derek Carr to get to where we want him to be. You don't pay a guy that much money for motivation. Just you can hire a cheap motivational coach cheaper than you got Marcus Mariota for. So that's not a motivational coach. That is somebody that, look, if 3-4 games and we're 1-3, we're putting this guy in.
Is Derek Carr the Marcus Mariota of last year?
Pretty much.
I think he very well could be because yeah. You also have John Gruden and Mike Mayock that were absolutely in love with Marcus Mariota coming out of the draft. I mean, they were gushing over him and have pretty much said that, you know, throughout, even when they were both still TV analysts, they liked him. So it's no surprise that they sign him as the backup, but then the money that he gets, as Marquise said, I believe Marcus Mariota is going to take that job before the year is out. Now, is that going to be a good thing? Who knows? And we saw how it worked out here. But for Ryan Tannehill, nobody thought that he was going to have the season that he had. It could be the same situation where he takes over, change of scenery. There you go.
For the same reasons that Marquise listed Derek Carr, do you put Mitch Trubisky on this list because they went out and got Nick Foles?
That's a good. Yeah. But he was already a loser, in my opinion.
Fair.
But yeah, no, that's another name that I had thought about.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Nick Foles. But my thing on Nick Foles, it was a cool story in Philadelphia, but was that the system and he was just in the right spot, and it's not going to translate anywhere else.
Nick Foles outside of Philadelphia has done squat.
Right, he hasn't
in his
been
NFL career.
And what's funny is he was successful in Philadelphia before and was with Andy Reid, and I use successful very loosely. But
I thought he was with Chip Kelly.
I think his first year was with Andy because they talked about them reuniting when he went to Kansas City. Because when he got cut from the Rams, he went to KC and was the backup, and that kind of rejuvenated him being with Andy again. But yeah, he was with Chip Kelly too, but I think he was in Andy's last year. Philadelphia.
I am looking this up.
Look it up.
You continue talking. I continue to look this up.
There you go. Talk amongst yourself. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in biggest winners and losers at quarterback this offseason.
It was Chip Kelly.
Okay, so he never played for Andy?
Well,
in Philly?
I think he did play for Andy in 2012. Yes, but in 2013 when Nick Foles had the 27 touchdown, 2 interception season where it was kind of his breakout campaign and he went 8-2 as Eagles starter that year. That was with Chip Kelly.
Okay.
And that was Chip's first year with the Eagles.
Okay. So he did overlap though. Cause I was like,
yes.
I thought that was a big deal that they're reunited.
Then he goes to the Rams, fails. Then he goes to the Chiefs, does nothing as backup, and then goes back to the Eagles, wins the Super Bowl, goes to Jacksonville, goes 0-4 and breaks his collarbone, and now he's with the Bears, and I don't really expect him to do much there either.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think the Bears are going to really do anything. Marquise is having fun with this. Kirk Cousins, Josh Rosen, Teddy's a winner. I'm getting all these texts from Marquise back in the studio. So winners and losers, you can continue to weigh in.
Here's another one. It was mentioned on the text line. but we didn't mention it this segment. Cam Newton.
Yeah, I just saw that from Greg. Cam has to be because
He doesn't have a job.
He's out of a job. If he wants to play, he's probably – or if he wants to be on a team, I should say, he's probably going to have to take a backup job, which he doesn't want to do. He played two games last year, but he's viewed as an injury concern. And without the ability to bring players in for physicals, I just don't see him getting a job anytime soon. I mean, that's what's holding him out. And I know that it's still easy to connect the dots to New England that, okay, he could go there. And that would make sense, but I don't see any indication that Bill's going to do that. He seems dead set on Stidham, at least right now. So
he does.
There you go. There you go. I think Cam Newton might have to wait for a little bit.
I mean, I think Bill would be dead set on Drew Lock too. I think Bill Belichick would be a pretty big fan of Drew Lock.
Yeah, we'll ask Hal Gill because Hal Gill's a big Patriots fan, and so we'll ask him. When we come back, you can continue to weigh in on the text line of biggest winners and losers at quarterback this offseason, 615-737-1025. But we shift gears. We talk hockey with Hal next on The Rundown, ESPN 1025 The Game. Are you working from home? Stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app, enable our Alexa skill, or Google Home and ask to play 1025 The Game or live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. It's a great way to listen if you're not in your car, if you are around the house or something like that, just turn the app on. It's very simple. The Game Nashville, just do that. Welcome back into The Rundown, ESPN 1025 The Game. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth here with you. We're efforting to find Hal Gill. We'll talk some hockey with him in just a few minutes. But Ryan, something that we saw yesterday on the Twitters that I thought was interesting, that the NFL, if they play without fans this year, which it's looking like, at least to start the season, that's probably going to be the case, that they could pump in crowd noise, similar to like they do at practices when they're getting ready for a loud environment. And Fox Sports could be a catalyst behind this of having crowd noise pumped in to give it that experience. What do you think about that?
So they're talking about doing this on site and not necessarily on TV, correct?
Well, that's how I thought it was, but here, this is Joe Buck was on Sirius XM with Andy Cohen yesterday, and he said that it's basically a done deal that Fox Sports is going to have this as a part of their product.
Going into this season coming up, and that comes with a huge asterisk, and hopefully there is a season, there's probably going to be a season in doing games with no fans, which will be difficult. I think Fox and these networks have to put crowd noise under us to make it as normal a viewing experience at home.
You think they'll do that?
I do. Yeah, I really? Think they'll do it. I know. In fact, I know they'll do it. And they are to the
that's,
point
that's
now
the
where
conversation right now.
That's it's pretty much a done deal. I think whoever's going to be at that control is going to have to be really good at their job and be realistic with how a crowd would react depending on what just happened on the field. So it's really important. And then on top of that, they're going to put they're looking at ways to put virtual fans in the stands. So when you see a wide shot, it looks like the stadium's jam-packed.
There you go. Joe Buck on with Andy Cohen. Sirius XM.
I thought that was Andy Cohen on with Joe Buck.
Yeah, I know. I mean, just interrupting. Come on, let the guy finish his answer. that annoys me. But we will hit pause on that conversation, Ryan, and say hello to Hal Gill. Skillsy is on the line with us. Let's talk some hockey with him. Hal, how are you? I missed your face.
School year. So I was. I just finished my son's second grade final project. He made a book, and so you know that's a big accomplishment for me. Well, I guess it's more for him, but you know, for me, really, it's really more about me.
Yeah, well, it's always about you, Mr. Gill. We've seen the videos of you that you you have been teaching. So, are you a hard grader? Do you grade on a curve? Like how does that go?
Well, the fun part is I don't have to grade, and so good. I can always hold. You know, hey, your teacher back at school isn't going to like this. I'm going to send an email. And so that's my motivation for the most part.
But I have a lot of respect for teachers out there because it is not easy. It's not easy to keep your cool when the kid just doesn't want to do something, you know. And I guess he's probably a little more likely to tell me that he's not going to do it than a teacher, I hope, because there's some days you wake up and he's not buying it. And
I don't envy you there because I don't have to worry about that right now. But kudos to you for being able to pull that off with your kids and teach them. So I wanted to ask you because you're always – the thing I love about you is you're always very honest and sometimes very blunt. And as we go through this process of having the debate, should the NHL resume their season? Should they go straight into the playoffs? Should they finish the regular season? Should they just bag it all together? I'm curious, as a guy that played for so long, if you were still playing, if you were in this situation, how would you feel right now? Would you want to come back at this point, or are you at the mindset of, I need to focus on next year, and it sucks that it has to end this way, but let's just focus on next year?
Yeah, I want to be blunt with you, but I don't have a real set opinion on it. I feel like there's so many aspects that you have to look at. As soon as you sign a contract and you get paid to play, it becomes a business. And so there's a lot of money out there that needs to be made back. And I totally understand that the NHL wants to get things back on track and make some money and have a playoff. If it was just hockey, there's no sense in trying to get back out on the ice. I think it's going to be hard for the guys to get back into shape. It's going to take a couple weeks, and then it's going to take time to figure out what is going to be happening and how it's all going to play out, and that's going to bump into the next season, and it's going to disrupt everything. So as a hockey player, it doesn't make sense. As a business, and the business of the NHL is, we got to go out and play and make money. And so, that would be the tipping point for me where I say, all right, let's go do our jobs. And whatever they say, we got to go out there and do. The hard part for me is, like, where's the cutoff? You're not going to have an even fair occasion. No matter what you do, it's not going to be fair. There's going to be a team that was left out of the playoffs that it feels like they should be in, and there's going to be a team that goes into the playoffs that probably shouldn't have been. So, any way you do it is going to be tough. But I do think it's a business, and, everyone that signs a contract has to know that, and they have to go out there and do their job. So money is everything right now, and I think it would be great for the fan base to see some hockey. And this has been long and hard, and everyone's trying to do their best. But hockey would heal a lot of wounds right now.
Hal Gill is with us here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hal, when you look at the potential playoff structure that's being reported, whether it's 16, 20, 24 teams, if the NHL were to resume, how do you feel like the league should prepare these teams for playoff hockey if they're just jumping right back into it? Should there be scrimmages between two teams? Should there be quasi games? I mean, I find it hard to believe that the NHL can sell it being the Stanley Cup playoffs with them having a 3 or 4 month hiatus in between games.
Yeah. that's tough. But you know what? You say you have a 10 game regular season. Those 10 games are going to be just as hard as playoff games, because guys are going to be fighting to get into a playoff spot. It's not going to be an easy transition to get in. I'd be nervous as heck because I had to play on tight gaps and defensively, it becomes a lot harder. If you're offensively gifted, you just go out there and make your plays. And if it doesn't work out, then you try it the next time. Defensively, I think it's going to be a lot tougher. It'll be tougher on the goalies. You really need to find a way to get in. As far as the deciding whether you have 16 teams, 20 teams, 24 teams, that gets kind of scary to me, because teams, then That brings in Chicago. That brings in, you know, the teams on the bubble. That gets big markets back into the play. And so, it's not set in stone what they're supposed to do. It makes it really difficult to decide what the right thing to do is and not just what, you know, gets big market teams into the playoffs.
Right. I wonder if, say, Anaheim was sitting there in the same position as Chicago, if you swapped them in the standings, whether or not we're having the discussion of 24 teams. Because, you know, one of the cases that I've made, Hal, is that if you put 75% of the league into the postseason, it feels like a watered-down product. And I would take hockey back no matter what the format is. But if I had to choose my druthers, it's – you know, either 16 teams like normal or 20 teams where you can have the wild card teams have a three-game play-in series, and you have the top three in each division get a bye of some sort, and then that determines the 16 teams. But if you expand it to 24, then it kind of feels like you're trying to include everybody in the party.
Yeah, that's a tough part, and I don't know if there's a right answer to that. I just know if you make some money back, and that'll make the players happy, they're going to get money back. Right now the escrow is through the roof, and they're not going to probably see half of their contracts, which is kind of scary, especially for the guys that just made it, you know, that just started making money. It's like, whoa, you're taking that away from me. So, I think they'll be more comfortable getting back into it, and you want to have the good teams in. You want to have the teams that are going to make money in. But all this is tough decisions way above my pay grade.
Hal Gill is with us. Something too that stood out a few weeks ago when we talked to Matt Duchene is he made the comment that nobody dreams of lifting the Stanley Cup over their head without fans and without the roar of the crowd or being in your home arena. And, you know, I think that most people would look at it as at least it's back. We can watch on TV, but you lifted it. You know what that feeling is like, what that moment is like. Is that how much do you think the guys really are thinking about that, of how weird it's going to be not to have the fans there when they're playing for the biggest prize in your sport?
Yeah, well, it's a valid point, and I understand that, but the alternative is no one gets the cup. Is would you, you know, if someone told you, hey, you're going to get the cup and but there'd be no fans, or you're just not going to get the cup, what are you going to choose? Give me the cup, man. You know, right. Like I want to win, and whatever the circumstance is, I'll take it. And so it's great. It would be great to win the cup in, it kind of stunk because we won it on the road. Well, who cares if you won it on the road? You win it at home, it's great. But if you win it on the road, yeah, just as great. If you win it without fans, it's great. With fans, I mean, we're talking about the cup, and any way they do it, it's going to be tough to win. It's not going to be just handed to anyone. You're going to have to battle and find a way through. And I wanted to add, I think if they do it, this might be the most exciting hockey that we'll see, because it isn't going to be pretty. It is going to be a ton of mistakes. The guys have been out for a long time, and they're going to make mistakes, and it's going to be fun to watch. My guess is it would be high scoring, a lot of errors that create scoring chances, and it could be a lot of fun to watch. So that's another aspect that you look at. It's not exactly the way you're supposed to go and win the cup, but it could be a messy, hairy kind of fun thing to, as a viewer, to watch on TV.
Hal Gill, radio analyst for the Nashville Predators. Hal, appreciate the time. Hope you enjoyed the pictures that I found going through some old files yesterday. Yeah. I tweeted them at you. Pretty funny.
I know. You know what? I just saw them this morning, and I was laughing. It wasn't that long ago, but now I look at it, I'm like, it was. It was a long time ago. And the baby face, the fat face that I had, it just kind of made me laugh.
Well, what was funny, too, is about the one where you're actually in front of your locker in the Predators' locker room, the video, there's Robbie Stanley who looks 12 with a full head of hair. Ryan is in it, and Ryan and I both look like babies. So it's a while ago, but it's not that far away. So I know.
It feels like yesterday, bud, when we were just hanging out in the locker room, you know?
I know. Well, hey, one day we'll be there again.
I hope so. I hope so.
Hal, stay safe. Hope you and the family are well. It's good to talk to you.
All right. Good talking to you guys. You stay safe, too.
Hal Gill, radio analyst for the Nashville Predators Radio Network, and, of course, a regular here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, he mentioned how fun it's going to be to watch these games, mostly because the high scoring, there's going to be an easing back in process. You know, I would also add to this a postseason with the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's going to be wide open, completely wide open.
Yeah.
Because who's to say a team like the Nashville Predators, who underachieved most of the season, wouldn't come in there and just run the table, or another team that was, you know, in the wild card picture, go in there and make it all the way to the Stanley Cup final. Like I, the Stanley Cup playoffs are already wide open most years, but I think it would be even more wide open because whatever momentum teams had going into March is going to be completely gone if they resume action in July.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be fun, and the ratings television wise would be fantastic. I mean, it'd be good for NBC, and so we'll see. Hopefully that there's a plan at some point in the near future, and maybe hockey can return. When we return here on the Rundown, we'll continue our conversation, the biggest winners and losers at quarterback this offseason, plus a dynamic duo in the making, or is it already here with the Tennessee Titans? We'll discuss that next on the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Do you own or manage a small business? Are you open and want to let people know about that? Then Free Business Friday on ESPN 102.5 The Game is for you. This Friday, we're offering free advertising to local businesses that are safely open and working. This is a no-cost, no-catch offer. Visit thegamenashville.com/FBF. For more information, Free Business Friday is our way of supporting small businesses as we get through this together. From your friends at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into the Rundown. Chase McKay, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson hanging out. Now, we started the show discussing our biggest winners and losers at the quarterback position this offseason in the NFL. And we have been taking your votes on the text line, 615-737-1025. Who do you think the biggest winner and losers are in the NFL? And a couple of you have sent Ryan Tannehill as the biggest winner. This is from Josh. Tannehill has to be high on the list of winners, if not the highest. At least top three highest contracts for quarterbacks this offseason. Now, that's just the money side. But you look at also, he comes in here, he's the backup. Pretty good money that he's getting from Miami, and then the Titans didn't have to pay much after the trade. He takes over in the Denver game, and then we all know what happens. And there wasn't much turnover offensively for this team. They added a potential weapon in Deterrian Evans in the backfield to be that complementary back to Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is going to be back. A.J. Brown, you're thinking, okay, that's going to be another step. Hopefully Corey Davis can add something and get a little fire under him. Adam Humphries, hopefully he can stay healthy. So you like how this offense is built around Ryan Tannehill. And then there's another weapon that I'm going to mention in a few minutes, but I do believe he should be on the list.
You can definitely make a case. And here's another reason why you could put him on the list. And, you know, going into the off season, all the scuttlebutt with ESPN was Tom Brady to Tennessee, Tom Brady, you know, reuniting with Mike Vrabel, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. And, you know, the fact that the Titans internally opted to not really consider Tom Brady as much as it was talked about because of Ryan Tannehill, I think that makes Tannehill a winner too, for the simple fact that they could have fallen for the GOAT in free agency, even though he's near the end of his career. They could have easily done that and said, you know, sure, what, this guy has six Super Bowls. This is the GOAT. He's played with Vrabel back when Vrabel was a player. It makes too much sense, blah, blah, blah. And they, by all accounts, didn't really have all that much interest in Tom
Brady. That's what they say. That's what they say.
Sure, but a lot of the talk could have been coming from Brady's camp that was getting to, you know, the ESPN sources and...
Yeah.
I mean, the Titans don't really talk all that much to sources.
No,
when
they
do things, it comes off as a surprise. We don't really expect. We weren't really expecting the Tannehill contract to come along. I mean, Diana Russini was really tight with Tannehill's agent, I believe, and that's why Russini was always in the camp of the Titans aren't all that interested in Tom Brady. Ryan Tannehill's likely to resign, but just the simple fact that they opted to re-sign Tannehill. They didn't say that Tannehill was just a midseason fluke to go with Tom Brady. They went with him, made him the starter with a multi-year deal. That's why I think Tannehill, as well, for the reasons that you stated, should be on that list.
Yeah, and here's another one, because I tease there's a dynamic duo in the making, or is it already here? And what do I mean by that? Jonnu Smith, the now starting tight end for the Tennessee Titans. They have been working together this offseason. Tannehill and Jonnu Smith have been training together this offseason. And you might think, okay, well, that's good. I'm glad that they're close together, both in the Miami area and able to work out. But that dynamic duo, if you go and you look at the numbers, it was already there. And I understand that at the beginning of the season, you had Delanie Walker in the lineup. He was relatively healthy, and then as the injury just continued to nag him, his production fell off. But if you look at Jonnu Smith before Tannehill took over as the starter, 8 targets, 6 catches. When Tannehill took over, obviously Delanie Walker, the injury happens. He's out of the lineup after the Denver game. 36 targets, 29 catches. He had 3 touchdowns in the regular season, and we know what he did to help the Titans in the postseason. One of the first things I noticed when Tannehill got the job was how comfortable he was with Jonnu Smith, that they were on the same page. And a lot of that had to do with both being the second team. They got a lot of work together in training camp and in the preseason. So that work paid off. I just believe it's going to be even more, because I think every football team, every quarterback needs that solid tight end that they can go to. And Jonnu Smith has shown, at least in the short term, that he is that guy, and I think he can be that guy moving forward. So that gives me even more confidence in what Ryan Tannehill can do.
I think we're going to see just what Jonnu Smith is made of in 2020. You know, the stats that you bring up, nice stats. He ended the season with, you know, just shy of 500 yards receiving, only had a few touchdowns. Made the great catch in Baltimore in the divisional round, the one-handed catch in the back of the end zone. But let's see what he does as a full-time starting tight end in this league. I want to see what he has to offer. I don't think he's proven that he can do that just yet. I think if you do that in a full season, you know, it's going to be a contract year for Jonnu, so maybe he balls out in his contract year. But, you know,
I think they're banking on that, because they didn't really address the position. They re-signed Firkser, they re-signed Pruitt. They know they have Jonnu Smith. I mean, those are going to be the tight ends for the Titans this year.
I didn't think there was really much of a reason to address that position, because that trio made it work last year, and they had bigger needs in the offseason. So, hopefully Jonnu is prime for a breakout year. That would be great for Tannehill to at least somewhat replicate what he did last year.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to our piping in fan noise tomorrow. We'll do a deep dive into that one. We got a little bit thrown off, but that's going to do it for the rundown today. Again, 615-737-1025 is our text line. If you still want to weigh in on the winners and losers for quarterbacks, we can read some of those tomorrow as well. But that's going to do it for Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson. I am Chase McCabe. Stick around. Darren Donick and Chase is coming up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.